I have great pleasure in welcoming the President of the Council of Ministers of the Republic of Italy, His Excellency Mr. Silvio Berlusconi. I invite him to address the General Assembly.
Thank you, President.
Mr. President, heads of state and government, Mr. Secretary General, ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor to address the 58th General Assembly of the United Nations on behalf of the European Union, whose presidency Italy holds until December 31st, 2003. The acceding countries, Cyprus, the Czech Republic, Estonia, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, Malta, Poland, the Slovak Republic, and Slovenia, align themselves with this statement. On this occasion, I cannot forget the sacrifice of Sergio Vieira de Mello and the other United Nations officials who recently fell victim to blind, indiscriminate hatred in Baghdad. Allow me also to pay homage to the memory of the Foreign Minister of Sweden, Anna Lindh, victim of a brutal act of violence. In their memory, and in the memory of all those who had given their lives in the service of freedom and democracy and human rights, the European Union pays its heartfelt tribute. 2 weeks ago, we commemorated the second anniversary of September 11th. The European Union remembers with great sorrow the victims of those attacks when the horror of terrorism struck this city, the United States, and the world. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, the European Union welcomes the Secretary General's recent report on the implementation of the development goals indicated in the United Nations Millennium Declaration and its conclusions. We share his view that the multilateral institutions should be updated and strengthened, and we're ready to contribute actively to the goal of building an international order based on effective multilateral institutions and within the fundamental framework of the UN Charter. We are all convinced that two of the greatest threats to peace and development today are terrorism and the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. The European Union condemns all acts of terrorism, which are threats to democracy, human rights, and economic and social development. We must be firm in our determination to destroy this virus and free present and future generations from its aggressions. Efforts to combat terrorism must respect human rights and the fundamental freedoms, the rule of law, and humanitarian law. In this struggle, we're working in close collaboration with and give our full support to the United Nations. It is a battle that must be conducted for the sake of freedom and democracy, the universal values which are engraved in the United Nations Charter, which should be deeply rooted in the lives of all the peoples of this globalized world. We must show the same commitment to stop the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction and their carriers. We cannot shirk our responsibilities. The European Union has doubled its efforts to put an end to this threat to international peace and security. After having recently agreed to an action plan, we're now busy with its implementation. The universal subscription to the main multilateral agreement is at the heart of the European Union's policies. World peace and security are indivisible. The peoples of Europe are well aware of the need to address both the military and humanitarian aspects of the North Korean situation. The European Union is closely watching the six-party talks aimed at resolving the current crisis relative to North Korea's nuclear program. The European Union sends a firm appeal to North Korea to completely dismantle its nuclear program in a prompt, transparent, verifiable, and reversible manner, in compliance with the obligations deriving from international non-proliferation agreements. The European Union reiterates its request to India and Pakistan to adhere to the nuclear non-proliferation treaty and to act in compliance with UN Security Resolution 1172. We forcefully encourage India and Pakistan to pursue a process of political dialogue that will lead to an agreement that is satisfactory to all parties on all the controversial points, including Kashmir, a problem that cannot be resolved through violence or terrorism. The European Union expresses its growing concern over the development of the Iranian nuclear program and the risks of proliferation that it involves. We reiterate our expectation that Iran will demonstrate accelerated cooperation and full transparency with the International Atomic Energy Agency by acceding to its requests. Urgent and unconditional acceptance, signature, and implementation of an IAEA safeguards additional protocol is of the utmost importance. The international community would consider it a sign of Iran's commitment to the non-proliferation framework and a step toward the desired reforms. The non-proliferation of weapons of mass destruction is a priority. It requires constant political pressure and, as the first line of defense, every political and diplomatic instrument available. We cannot allow unconventional weapons to end up in the hands of terrorists or regimes that represent a threat to world peace. In this context, another grave danger is represented by the increasing spread of light and portable weapons and by the expansion of armed organized violence, whose toll in human lives has begun to exceed the lives lost in wars. With regard to non-proliferation, the European Union is firmly committed to supporting the United Nations, particularly the Security Council, in pursuit of the following common objectives: strengthening international agreements, increasing support for the monitoring agencies, and intensifying controls over illegal trafficking. Finally, should all political and diplomatic measures fail, recourse to enforcement measures provided for by the United Nations Charter cannot be ruled out. However, recourse to force can be avoided if all the instruments of international law, including human rights and safeguards, come to prevail in all their effects, and if all will be persuaded that this is the proper thing to do. To this end, the European Union considers the International Criminal Court to be a new instrument with great powers of deterrence and reiterates its full support for the court and its universalization. The EU is and will always remain committed to the promotion and protection of all human rights and all the fundamental freedoms. In this context, we reiterate our strong support for achieving a universal abolition of the death penalty. In recent years, important progress has been made in this direction, thanks in part to civil society. Abolition is our primary goal. Where capital punishment continues to exist, however, we are requesting that its application be impeded through a general moratorium on executions. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, conflict prevention and crisis management are essential components of the EU's contribution to the safeguarding of international peace and security. More than 40,000 men and women of the European Union are currently deployed on UN-led or authorized peace operations in the world. The Union is directly involved in missions in the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and until a few days ago, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where the European Union demonstrated its will to contribute, also through military means, to the international community's effort to restore peace and stability in Africa. In light of this concrete commitment, the European Union reaffirms its support for the reform and strengthening of the United Nations peacekeeping activities, to confirm its strategic collaboration with the United Nations, the Council of the European Union has decided to intensify relations between the European Union and United Nations in the area of crisis management. The European Union is currently drafting guidelines on the protection of civilians in EU-led peace operations that will fully reflect the UN doctrine. Democracy is the only government system that can fully guarantee respect for human rights while fostering development, prosperity, and peace. The EU aims to increase its cooperation with countries that share the values of freedom and democracy, in a spirit of openness toward the entire international community. The EU states its willingness to give support to all those states that intend to comply with these principles. The European Union continues to consider its relations with Africa a priority and recalls the common commitment to strengthen this dialogue. The European Union has expressed a special interest in strengthening African capacities in peacekeeping and conflict resolution and has focused its initiatives in this field also on Africa. We are committed to supporting the efforts of the African Union aimed at establishing a regional security mechanism. The European Union will continue to work for inter-African peace and will support the effort of the African states to end the many conflicts that afflict the continent. Stable conditions for peace cannot be created, however, without a strategy to eradicate the background of poverty and the social exclusions that fuel so many conflicts in Africa and other regions of the world. On the long road toward governing globalization and delivering its beneficial effects to all, Africa will remain at the heart of Europe's commitment and the EU's privileged partnership with its countries shall continue. In this framework, we reiterate our support for NEPAD and for the hopes that it represents for African development. The EU special commitment to Africa should also be seen in the framework of the Millennium Development Goals, aimed primarily at eradicating poverty, hunger, disease, social and gender inequalities, and environmental degradation. In this framework, we reiterate our commitment to fight AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria, and the purpose of it is to eradicate them. the European Union expresses its deep regret over the failure to achieve substantial progress, especially with regard to agricultural products, on the occasion of the Cancun conference organized by the World Trade Organization. We remain convinced that a growing liberalization of world trade, together with the development cooperation activities, can play a crucial role in achieving the Millennium Development Goals for a better world. This is why the European Union feels that it is important to continue the negotiations in the WTO framework with the determination and flexibility needed to honor the commitment enshrined in the Doha Development Agenda. The European Union has taken on a financial commitment in line with the Monterrey objectives to increase development assistance resources until we reach the target of 0.39% of GDP by 2006. Our commitment does not stop at financial contributions. We are also aiming to join with our development partners in a process that integrates the fight against poverty and diseases with progress in the field of safeguarding human rights and fundamental freedoms, good governance and environmental protection. The defense protection of our environment, also through the implementation of the commitments undersigned in the Kyoto Protocol, is the benchmark of our ability to foster a lasting development that reconciles the demands of economic process and social progress with the need to protect natural resources. These two goals are not alternatives, but rather the pillars of the Johannesburg Declaration. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, the European Union appreciates the progress made starting with the 57th General Assembly following the presentation of the Secretary General's report on reform, strengthening the United Nations, an agenda for further change, and continues to support the Secretary General's efforts to implement the reforms needed to bring about efficient management capable of achieving the objectives established for the United Nations by the international community. We will work for the adoption of a budget plan for 2004-2005 biennium that supports implementation of the Millennium Declaration and the reform process begun during the 57th General Assembly. The safeguarding of international peace and security requires a strong commitment to address regional conflicts. Otherwise, there will be an increase in destabilization that could affect the entire international community. In the Middle East, the European Union is deeply concerned by the deterioration of relations between the State of Israel and the Palestinian Authority, and reiterates its strong support for the roadmap, the only hope for lasting peace in the area and for opening the gate to the stability and development of the region. The EU will lend its efforts to this end within the quartet. To implement the road to peace, it is also important that there be a concrete and generous commitment on the part of the European Union and G8 countries to a plan for a comprehensive economic reconstruction of the area. Both Israel and the Palestinian authorities must act urgently to implement the commitments provided for in the roadmap. In Iraq, the European Union has welcomed the end of Saddam Hussein's regime, whose power was built on fear, on terror and violation of human rights. The formation of the Iraqi Governing Council was the first major step toward a representative government of the Iraqi people. The European Union underlines the importance of the restoration of Iraqi sovereignty and the establishment of a fully representative Iraqi government through democratic elections. The United Nations has a vital role in this process. The upcoming Donors Conference in Madrid provides a welcome opportunity for all those who share our concern for Iraq's future to contribute positively to the political and economic regeneration of Iraq. We recognize that for the reconstruction process to be successful, it will need to be accompanied by improvements in the security situation. In Afghanistan, the European Union wishes to express its full appreciation for the work done by the United Nations within the framework of the bond process. We will continue to assure our support for the process of democratization, also through assistance to the construction of the country. The European Union underlines the importance of an effective reform in the area of security as the basis for lasting security and stability in Afghanistan and throughout the region. The preparations for the 2004 elections aimed at forming a government and parliament that are representative of each component of Afghan society are of primary importance. In accordance with the conclusions of the European Council of Thessaloniki, the European Union will continue to work tirelessly in support of UN Secretary General's efforts to achieve a comprehensive, just, viable, and functional solution to the Cyprus problem, consistent with the relevant Security Council resolutions. The relations between the countries of Europe and Latin America are rooted in history and provide the basis for an intense collaboration and for the EU's strong interest in the region. The European Union is committed for further improving the overall arrangement of its relations with the countries of Central and South America. Lastly, the European Union will continue to support the processes of stabilization, democratization and development in the Western Balkans. At the EU-Balkan Summit in Thessaloniki, the European Union reaffirmed its full consensus on the future European perspective of the region. The realization of these hopes will depend on the ability of the individual countries and the region to implement institutional, governmental and economic reforms and on the fulfillment of the political criteria, the acquis of the Union, including full cooperation with the International Tribunal on Crimes in former Yugoslavia and progress in the field of respect for the rights of minorities. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, the events of recent decades have profoundly changed the world order. Today, the conditions exist for the democracies of the world to unite in order to spread those goods that are the unavoidable premise for all the others, freedom and democracy. In the Millennium Declaration, we promised to the highest possible number of citizens food, water, health, and education. Now the democracies must commit themselves to providing also and above all the intangible goods from which the other more tangible ones spring. Because without the prerequisites of freedom and democracy, there can be no hope for lasting peace and development, nor can there be an ultimate defeat of the challenge of poverty. Thank you.